So what's on your bucket list? You know, that list of things you want to do before you kick the bucket. Maybe it's a place you want to visit, like Machu Picchu in Peru or the Taj Mahal in India. Maybe it's an experience you want to have, like going skydiving or seeing your favorite artist live in concert. Maybe it's a goal you want to accomplish, like writing a memoir or remodeling your house. Whatever it is, your bucket list items are things that are really important to you. Things that may be somewhat aspirational, yet things that would make you feel like your life is complete. In today's message, we're going to look at the story of two individuals who got to cross the ultimate thing off their bucket list, seeing the Messiah whom God had promised to send to his people. We're in Luke's gospel today, looking at the story of Simeon and Anna. We're looking at their faith and their sense of expectation as they waited for God's promise to be fulfilled. We'll look at what it meant for them to cross off the biggest item off their bucket list. We'll also explore what the story has to say to us today as we wait for God's promises to be fulfilled in our lives. So let's explore the story of Simeon and Anna. Today is February 2nd. As I mentioned, it is Candlemas Day, according to some Christian traditions, or Presentation of the Lord Sunday. It's not so much a Presbyterian thing, but it is observed by Catholics and Anglicans and other Protestants. And it's a day that commemorates Jesus' presentation in the temple and the prophecies given by Simeon and Anna about Jesus and his messianic mission. It occurs 40 days after Christmas and marks the end of the Christmas Epiphany season. Liturgically, it is also the halfway point between the celebration of Christ's birth and the commemoration of his death on Good Friday. We turn, as one preacher says, from the cradle to the cross. Candlemas Day is also the halfway point between the winter solstice and the spring equinox, the halfway point of winter and the hope that spring is soon to come. It's also Groundhog's Day, which is not on the liturgical calendar, but I'm told Punxsutawney Phil did not see his shadow, so perhaps an early spring is on the way. Who knows? Traditionally, candles are burned on Candlemas Day as a symbol of Christ's light coming in the coming of springtime and the spiritual theme of light versus darkness. There's a lot of themes to unpack in Candlemas Day, and we won't be able to touch on all of them, but let's take a look at the text of Candlemas Day, Jesus' presentation in the temple, and unpack some of these themes. In our text, Luke's gospel records how Joseph and Mary presented Jesus in the temple according to the law. Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. Also, as customary according to the law, they offered a sacrifice, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And present was a man named Simeon, described as righteous and devout. He was looking forward to the consolation of Israel. He was a man devoted to the Lord and in practicing his faith. He lived with a sense of expectation and anticipation for Israel's consolation, for the Lord to send the Messiah to restore the kingdom and free the Jewish people from captivity. As he lived his life, he did so in this posture of waiting and expectation. And the text tells us the Holy Spirit rested upon him, possibly even prayed with him, joining with his spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. In other words, the Holy Spirit told Simeon to put seeing the Lord's Messiah on his personal bucket list. We don't know when Simeon received this promise from the Holy Spirit or how long he waited before the promise came to fruition, but I have a sense it was a long time, many years perhaps. I wonder what it was like to wait for something like that, to see the long-promised Messiah in your lifetime. especially given the history. It had been over 400 years since the last major prophetic utterance of the Lord, and Israel seemed stuck in the cycle of getting taken over by one oppressive power after another. In Simeon's day, they were under Rome's crushing rule. And if I'd lived back then, I would have wondered if I would have had the faith of Simeon, the faith to keep waiting, to keep hoping, to keep expecting, despite everything around you seeming to contradict what you were promised. I wonder if Simeon told others what the Holy Spirit had promised. And if he did they believe him? Did they encourage him, or did they think he was nuts? Have you ever waited for something for a really long time? What did it feel like? Did you ever doubt or lose hope? What kept you going in that time of waiting? The text tells us that Simeon kept waiting and kept expecting and kept hoping. Then one day, the Holy Spirit guided Simeon to the temple. And after all this waiting and anticipation, in walks Mary and Joseph, presenting the baby Jesus. Imagine the excitement. Here was the promised Messiah right in front of Simeon's eyes. When he finally beheld the Christ child, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people." Simeon could finally cross the biggest thing off his bucket list. He had seen the Messiah. Jesus' parents were amazed by Simeon's testimony, and Simeon blessed them. But Simeon did not have all good news about the child. He told Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too," he told her. Not everyone would accept Jesus as Messiah. Jesus' ministry would cause division and would cause Mary grief as well as joy. This was undoubtedly a prophecy about Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. Simeon's revelation was bittersweet. The Messiah would bring about God's redemption, but it would be through suffering and sacrifice. I wonder what it would have been like to be Simeon on that day. You think you're going to have a normal day, just like every other day, and then you fulfill the most anticipated item on your bucket list. You behold the Messiah with your own eyes. You hold him in your arms. You bless him and prophesy over him. And what would it have been like to be Mary in that situation? To encounter Simeon and to learn that he's been waiting his whole life to see your child, who just happens to be the promised Messiah. What would you feel if Simeon said these things about your child that he said about Mary's child? How would you react? Would you feel good about the encounter, or would you be troubled by it? And then there's Anna. We shouldn't forget about Anna. Anna was a prophet, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was an 84-year-old woman who had been widowed after only 7 years of marriage. We can assume from the text that she was never remarried or had children. And the text tells us Anna never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. Like Simeon, Anna lived a devout life, fasting, praying, and worshiping in the temple. We can infer that she was also likely waiting for the Lord's deliverance. The text tells us when she saw the baby Jesus, she began to praise God and speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. Like Simeon, Anna must have been pretty excited to see the Messiah. We don't know all that Anna said to Mary and Joseph about Jesus, but I can imagine it was a pretty incredible scene. Put yourself in Anna's shoes. What would you have thought? What would you have felt as you beheld the Lord's Messiah for the first time? How would that encounter have affected your faith journey? What have been some of the biggest moments in your faith journey as you reflect back? Anna told Mary and Joseph about Jesus' messianic mission. What would you tell your children and grandchildren about Jesus if you had the opportunity? What spiritual legacy would you want to leave them? Simeon and Anna are examples of faithful people who lived out their faith in hope and expectation of the Lord fulfilling his promise and sending the Messiah. What can Simeon and Anna teach us about practicing our faith in God's promises today? Simeon and Anna lived their lives focused on seeking God, and it was on their spiritual bucket list to see the Messiah. And they waited and prayed and hoped for that promise to be fulfilled. And God eventually fulfilled it. Do we live with this sense of focus? With this sense of expectation? With this sense of hope that God's promises will be fulfilled? Or do we get distracted, letting our focus drift to other things? Do we come to this place of worship week after week, year after year, with a sense of wonder, with a sense of expectation that God will reveal his salvation to us in Christ? Or do we come and merely go through the motions and leave worship unchanged because we don't really expect Jesus to show up and transform us? Candlemas Day gives us the opportunity to refocus, to reorient our priorities, to worship and fast and pray for a fresh vision of Jesus to take over our lives and the life of our church. Candlemas Day is also an opportunity to reflect upon discipleship, what it truly means to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. It's easy to worship the baby Jesus at the manger. It's harder to follow Jesus by taking up our cross. We love the pageantry of Christmas, the lights, the carols, the story, the angels and the shepherds and the wise men, the glow of candles and the singing of Silent Night. But we don't so much love the self-denial and sacrifice of Lent. We don't enjoy getting ashes smudged on our foreheads to remind us all that we're going to die someday. We don't like giving things up or denying ourselves earthly comforts to be filled with spiritual things. We don't like reflecting upon the crucifixion. Jesus' suffering, betrayal, and the cross, and our brokenness that put him there. We joyfully journey to Bethlehem, but we turn our faces away from Calvary. We are drawn to the manger, but we resist the cross. One pastor notes, following Jesus is not about Christmas, not just about Christmas, not just about light and joy and celebration. Today we let Simeon turn us in the direction of the cross, remembering that following Jesus is also about sacrifice and faithfulness in the face of suffering. Perhaps that is why Candlemas Day is a day marked by candles that are signs of Christ's light in the world. For we know we still have need of such signs to get us through the darkness ahead. And there is much darkness in our world. There's sickness and grief, losing loved ones, financial worries, conflicts interpersonally. And in our world, we see violence and threats of war and global pandemics and our own broken, dysfunctional political system. And at times it seems so dark and so overwhelming. We may wonder if this Christianity thing is worth it in the end. Is God really going to come through for us? We pray, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But we may be tempted to wonder if this is really going to come to pass, or if it's just a pipe dream. Candlemas Day is a day that encourages us to keep the faith, to hold fast to God's promises, to trust in Jesus that we truly have seen the light of God's salvation, and that one day he will return to put the world right. Like Simeon and Anna, we too can cross off our bucket list seeing the salvation of the Lord. For we have seen the Lord's salvation in the light of Christ, And this revelation will change us. It will transform us if we allow it to do so. But like Simeon and Anna, we must be looking for it. We must be focused upon it. We must be seeking it, continually seeking it and growing into it. We must have an attitude of expectation, an attitude of hope. Friends, Simeon and Anna had seeing the Lord's Messiah on their bucket list, and the Lord fulfilled that promise. May we have the courage to truly behold the Lord's salvation in Christ and allow it to transform us into glorious beacons of light in our dark world. And may the Lord bless this message to our hearing. Amen.